All right, here we go. All right, so tonight's topic is, this week's parasha is parasha Truma, but it is also parasha Zachar, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa to lane. So I want to learn a little bit about the inyan of Mechias Amalek, which is killing, destroying, murdering, getting rid of Amalek. So I want to start with, is it Nogea today? Do we have, Bizman Hazeh, the mitzvah of killing and wiping out Amalek? We definitely have the mitzvah of remembering, which is what we're going to do the Shabbos, to remember it, to read it from Sefer Torah. That for sure we have. The question is, do we have also the mitzvah of actually killing Amalek? Is it relevant? Do we have Amalek to kill? Now there's a story that goes around from the Chassam Sefer. Yes, Dolly?
If I kill Amalek before Shabbos, do I still have to listen to Lane?
Yes, because there's two mitzvahs. There's the killing and then the remembering.
It's a good way of getting out of what you
But know. It's a good question. Now, are you allowed to do that? Let's find out. So there's a story that's been going around from the Chassam Sefer that supposedly the Chassam Sefer knew of a certain person that was from Amalek, and he had the opportunity to kill him, and he did. He knocked him off the cliff. Supposedly, that's how the story goes. When my Rebbe told this over to Rav Meisha says Sheker v'Chazav. It's not true. It never happened. What? We're gonna get there. Great. We're getting there. Okay. So there's a story that is said over, but Rav Meisha said the story is not true. Another story that's said over is that there was a Yid who lived in the northern part of Israel, and he was not a learned person at all. Yet, anyone who went in for brachas, the brachas came true. The brachas were Kuyim. So they tried to find out, who is this person? What did he do? What kayach did he have? His brachas came true. And they said that he was the one that killed Eichmann in the court case over there. So he had a monopoly in our generation of killing Amalek, and that's why he was Zeicha. Is that true or not true? Also don't know. So we have two stories that may or may not be true, whether or not there is this concept of Amalek today. Now, let's get to the Yishayinim. So we have a Rambam. I'll tell you a nice dig in the Rambam. The Rambam says, in Malach and Perek, hey, Halach Adali, the Rambam says, Mitzvah say lahachim shiva amamin. There's a mitzvah say to kill the Zion amamin, etc., etc. But then he ends off ukvar avdu va'avad zichram. But they're already gone. There's a mitzvah to kill the Zion amamin, but they're all gone already. The Radvaz explains why they're all gone, like what Yaakov said, because Sancheiriv came and mixed up all the nations, so they're not here anymore. So by the Zion amamin, the Rambam says that mitzvah doesn't exist anymore, according to the Advaz, because they're gone. It's all mixed up. The Minchas Chinuch in Tafresh Dalit says, so who adin Amalek? Who adin? What?
Isn't Amalek part of that?
I don't think so. The Ram has a separate halacha. There's a Zayin Amin, and then there's Amalek. So it's not one of the Zayin. So the Minchas Chinuch says in Tafresh Dalit, hey, that because of Sancheiriv, Sancheiriv went and mixed up all the nations, therefore, there's no mitzvah anymore of killing Amalek, because we don't know who they are. They're gone. That is a Michas Chinuch Chiddush. The problem is, if you look at the next Rambam, in Hey, the Rambam says, V'chein, mitzvah say la'abed zera Amalek, shenemar timcha zecha Amalek. So the Rambam says, the mitzvah to kill them. And there the Rambam does not say, ukvar avdu. The Rambam does not say, they're already gone. So in Halacha Dalit, the Rambam said, by the Zayin Amamin, they're gone, because it's Sancheiriv, yet, in Halacha, hey, when it comes to Amalek, the Rambam did not say they're already gone. According to Michas Chinuch, he should have said that. So we have seemingly a nice dig in the Rambam that even today there would be the mitzvah of killing Amalek. And the question is why? Why would there be a mitzvah of killing Amalek? If Sancheir came along, the Michas Chinuch said there isn't, why would the Rambam say there is? So we're going to have five Shilas. That is Shila number one. Yes, is that a question or a stretch?
Stretch.
There we go. Now, question number two. Sugya number two, which is, here's the sugya. What about Gerim? Can we accept Gerim from Amalek, right? You're about to go with the sword. Let's go back in the day when, for sure, the mitzvah was there. You're about to go with the sword to Mr. Amalek. And Amalek says, all right, I accept Hashem. I want to do Gerim. I'll learn the whole Torah. I love everything. Would we accept Amalek as Gerim?
Surely?
Very good. That may also be true. There's a deacon in the Rambam just like that. Shmuel, you're right. So if they were to be Megayer, if they were to accept the Zion Mitzvah B'nai Noach, would we accept them? That would be a good trick for them to stay alive. Great. We're going to get to that in a second. There's a Mechilta at the end of Parshas B'Shalach. The Pasuk says, Vayomer ki yad al kezka milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. The Mechilta says, the Torah Tamir brings it, but the Mechilta says, Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer nishba kadosh baruch hu b'kizei kavod shaloi. Hashem made a shmua with the kizei kavod. Shem yavai echad mikol ha'umais lezgayah sheikabluhu. If any nation comes to be megayah, we're going to accept them. Umei Amalek umei beisai lo yekabluhu. But we will not accept any gerim from Amalek. That's why it says midor dor. We'll never accept. So we have a mechilta. That is an unbelievable question. Very good. It's a great question. We're going to get to that in a second. Right? That's what the Rashi alluded to by B'nai Banav, which is what Rabbi Edelman is saying, which is a Gemara in Gittin on the Zion of Beis that says, B'nai Banav Shal Haman, Lamdu Taira Be B'nai Brak. You guys are right. Right? So on the Gadol tours to B'nai Brak, we're going to stop by the B'nai Banav Shal Haman. They're there. So, Rabbi Kiva?
Some people say it's Rabbi Kiva.
Some people say it's Rabbi Kiva.
Ooh.
Wow. So like this. So we have a mechilta. What?
Some people say he was.
Why? Because maybe they're from Amalek. Okay, good question. So we have, oh my God, good question, Molly. So we have on the table right now, we have the mechilta that says we do not accept Gerim from Amalek. Now, yet we have the Gemara in Gittin that says, B'nai Banav Shel Haman were learning Torah. If they're learning Torah, that was because they were Gerim. We wouldn't let them learn Torah if they were Goyim. So they're learning Torah in B'nai Brak. How could that be? Now, let me add on the Rambam. There's a Rambam which says, the Rambam Perek Vav Halacha Dalid. The Rambam seems to say that by Amalek, it's not the Rambam, Aval, Amalek, Shelo Heshlimu. Heshlimu means like he didn't accept to be part of us. We kill him. But the Achayim Radagit is Rambam, Mash from the Rambam, if Amalek were to be Hishlimu from his Lashon, if the Amalek were to accept upon themselves Geirus, so then we would accept them. There's also a Rambam in Hilchos Yisuribia that's clear like that, Mash from the Rambam, that we would accept them as Geirim. And perhaps the Makar is this Gemara in Gittin. So it looks like we have maybe a Machlokas, Rambam versus the Mechilta, but the Rambam source maybe is from the Gemara in Gittin. Do we accept Gerim? Mechilta says no. There are some Diyukim in the Rambam that say yes. Now, a lot of it will depend. There's a story. We got to say over this story from Nach, in a story in Shmuel Beis, the first Perek, Perek Aleph. There's a story that David HaMelech killed or had killed the son of a Ger Amaleki. Now, what was going on over here with the quick background? Shaul HaMelech was killed at war. How was he killed? He asked people to kill him. He fell on his sword, or he asked people to kill him. And then this Ger Amaleki came and was the one that told David HaMelech, you should know David HaMelech, I killed Shaul. I was the one that killed Shaul. And then right then, David HaMelech was killed. So now, there's a machlekes, why did David HaMelech kill him? Did David HaMelech have him killed because he was Amaleki? Or did David HaMelech have him killed because he killed Shaul HaMelech? Okay, from the Pasuk, when you read the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perek Aleph, you're going to think what was going on over there was because he killed Shaul. The Mechilta seemed to learn, that he killed him because he was an Amaleki. Maybe both. So here's what's fascinating. Okay, listen to this. How would David HaMelech be able to kill him for killing Shaul? How did David HaMelech know that he killed Shaul?
He told him
his own admission. That's true. You can't kill someone based on their own admission. I go ahead and say, hi, I'm the one that killed the king. You can't touch me. A king could kill him. How does he know it's true? Maybe he trusts him. So here we have a nice machlokas, Yaakov and the Shiva, two divim shatim, perhaps will be two shatim in the Rambam and in the Mechilta. And here's the way this goes. The Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Yud Ches, says, we never kill anyone based on their own admission, except Hayrashah from Amalek. And he brings this example. Let's read the Rambam Sanhedrin Yud Ches Vav. The Rambam says, Gzeres akasavu. She'aim amisim bezdin al pi. Only pi shnei edim, etc. V'zeh shaharag. David leger amaleki. Hayrash shahaisa oidin malchus haya. The Rambam says the only reason why David HaMelech killed the Ger Amaleki was because he's a Melech, a Rasha, because he killed the king, something in that family, like the Rashi was saying. That's why David HaMelech killed this Ger Amaleki. However, the Mechilta, on papers they have it, the Mechilta is brought down, seems to bring a raya from this story that we don't accept Gerim. That David HaMelech killed the Ger Amaleki? Yes. Killed the Ger Amaleki because he was an Amaleki. But when you read the Pesukim, it doesn't sound like that. Zak the Achrayim Amari de Kepshat. And this is what touches upon what Yaakov was saying. Who do we not kill based on their own admission? Only a Jew. A guy who based on his own, he gives a confession, he does an admission, we will kill him based on his own admission. And maybe in Machlokes Rishonim, for sure the Chinuch holds like that. The Chinuch holds that we will kill a guy based on what he admitted to. So if a guy says he's a murderer, we will kill the guy. So Zat the Mechilta, this is Zat the Achayim Shad Mechilta. David HaMelech killed him because both reasons at the same time. Like David wanted to say, which is because he was an Amaleki and because he killed Shaul. How do we know he killed Shaul? Because he admitted. But if he's a Jew, the admission doesn't work. But because he was an Amaleki and we don't accept Gerim from Amaleki, from Amalek, therefore he was never really converted, so he's still a guy, and he's still a guy, so then we can take his confession and kill him based on that. So we have now two Geshmak and Mahalchim in the story in Nach. Why and how did David HaMelech kill the Amaleki? Either he was a Jew, but is Harash Shah from the Melech, or he was not an accepted convert. He was still Amalek. So he could be killed for two reasons, because he was Amalek and because he killed Shaul HaMelech, and we trust and believe him that he did. Okay, so these are our two Mahachim. But at the end of the day, we have to get back to our Gemara. B'nei Banu Shel Haman, according to the Mechilta, we do not accept Gerim. How do we have B'nei Banu Shel Haman? So that is Shiloh number two. Okay, so we have on the table two Shilohs so far. One, Bizman Hazeh, do we have, the Ram seems to say we do, can kill Amalek, but how do we have them? Number two is, how do we accept B'nei Banu Shel Haman? According to the Mechilta, we don't accept Gerim from Amalek. Shaila number three is, it's clear from the story in Nach and other places that all the money of Amalek also has to be destroyed. We'll get to it in more detail soon. But all money of Amalek has to be destroyed as well. So why in the story of the Megillah did Esther and Malka get Haman's house? Same way we're going to see Haman was Amalek, Zerah from Amalek. And we destroyed and killed Amalek, killing Haman. So Esther should not have been allowed to take the house of Haman. Should have had to been destroyed, just like there's a mitzvah to destroy Amalek, also to destroy the money of Amalek. That's question number three. Now, we'll understand that question a little bit better.
Maybe the house belonged to Ahasuerus. She's like
a... It was called Beis HaHaman.
So, but it was a government house.
Okay, good. If that's true, then we have no problem. I mean, right, what she was saying is, it may have been called Beis Haman, but it was owned by Achashverosh. Could be, but there, what about the things inside? I don't know, maybe you're right, the White House was owned by the government, but maybe the things inside were personally owned by Haman. Okay, we'll put that question out there. If there was Haman's merchandise, Haman's possessions in that house, why and how was Esther allowed to keep them, not destroy them? That's question number three. Question number four is, let's understand the story in Shmuel Aleph Perek Tes Vav with Shaul and Agag. Okay, this is a very interesting story, which is Hashem told Shaul HaMelech, Shmuel commanded Shaul, go kill Amalek and kill everything. Every person, man, woman, animal, child, kill them all. Shaul went to war with Amalek and he killed almost everybody. He let Agag live. Agag was the king of Amalek, and he let Agag live. He also let some of the animals live. Not all the animals. He let some of the finest animals to stay alive. That's what Shaul did. Hashem went to Shmuel and said, Shmuel, Shaul made a mistake. He will no longer be king. This is the mistake he made. Go tell him. And so Shmuel went to Shaul. They had a dialogue. Shmuel said, who's that? That's Agag. Shmuel took a sword, even though Shmuel was a Nazir and not allowed to become Tamei, but he took a sword and he stabbed, he killed Agag. And before he killed Agag, he made a mention, a reference to Agag's mother. Right? Not one of these, your mama, but that's what he said. He made a reference to Agag's mother. So the Achrayim ask, what is going on over here? We have a lot of shilas. What was going on with this whole story? One shila is, why did Shaul not listen to Hashem? Why did Shaul not kill Agag and all the animals? That's one major issue. The second one is, why did Shmuel mention the mother of Agag before Shmuel killed Agag? Yeah, so we need to know what was going on in that story. And so that will be shot number four. What is happening in that story? What was Shaul thinking? Why did he not do it? And what did Shmuel do? Now, just by the way, there's a Zaya that says that you have to kill Amalek with a sword, which is why Shmuel, even though he's a Nazir, would kill him with a sword. I mean, he could have killed him through bow and arrow and not become Tamei. But he killed him through a sword, even though he's becoming Tamei, and a Nazir can't become Tamei. He did it because he had no choice. He had a chiyuv to kill Amalek. And the way the Zaya says is the way you kill Amalek is through a sword. So that's why he had to do it like that. Anyway, that's food for thought. Now, so that's shot number four. Shot number five, yes?
With your bare hands.
With your bare hands also become Tamei. But I don't know. And we'll end up the fifth. What? Ah, very good. According to this story that she was asking, the way I heard the story was the Amalek, he was by the cliff and he went like that. That's how I heard the story. Not off the cliff, but that would not stem with the Zaya. What? Maybe. I don't know. That wouldn't stem with the Zaya. I don't know if Chassam Slave had a sword with him. But again, if the whole story never happened, then it's really fine.
Maybe that be... What's the Zaya source? It has to come from a puzzle.
I'm sure he's got one, but I don't have it. It could be on the paper here.
It's Mahajan.
Maybe, yeah, it could be.
Maybe it says
Apichet. Maybe. Anyway, the Chavetz Chaim Slave Sharon has all this information. I'm just putting it in a different order, but it's really all there. So now, the last point I want to put out there is the Mechilta. There's a Mechilta which is brought in Parshas B'Shalach, Yud Zayin, Yud Dalid. The Mechilta says, the Pasuk says, Zecher Amalek. Right, we're going to hear Zecher, 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 Zecher. Have this in mind. When you hear Zecher Amalek, even though it's from Parshas Kisetze, but the same word is there. Zecher Amalek, the Mechilta Darshins, Zecher Zehaman. Amalek Kimashmo. I mean, the word Amalek means Amalek. But Zecher means Haman. So we need to know what is the Pshat Mechilta. What does it mean that Zecher is a reference to Haman and Amalek is Amalek? I thought Haman was Amalek. Haman came from Agag. Agag was the king of Amalek. Agag was Amalek. So what does this Mechilta mean? Okay, so we have five questions on the table. Number one is, Bizman Azeh, do we have it? The Rambam seems to say yes, even though Sancheirv mixed everyone up. Question number two is, are we Makabel Gerim? The Mechilta seems to say no, and yet B'nai Banar Sal Haman were accepted. Number three is, Esther took the money from Haman. If it was Haman's money, Amalek's money, it should have been destroyed. Number four, what was the whole Havamina of Shaul not to kill Agag, and Shmuel did kill Agag with his mother's name? And the fifth one, what does this Mechilta mean? So here we have these five shilas. We're going to have one big Yisayid, which hopefully answers these shilas. And it goes like this. So there's a big debate that the Chavetz Chaim brings, that by Goyim, how do we determine who is Amalek? Do we go based on the father, or do we go based on the mother? How do we determine who is Amalek? Right? By Bnei Yisrael, how do we determine who's a Kayin? Levi goes by the father. How do we determine if you're Jewish? It goes by the mother, right? That's how it works by the Jews. By the Goyim, how does it work to determine if you are Amalek or if you're not Amalek? So there's big rage, a big tumult about it. But Bjarnes and Ivishitz wanted to say that perhaps it goes based on the mother, I think it was. But anyway, there's a big debate, back and forth. I could want to say the father. Anyway, he wants to say it like this.
Says that Agag was his mother.
Right, Agag was a mother. But so the shaila is it the mother, is it the father? The Achrayim bring a Gemara that it goes based on the father. I think Rav Yonasan Ivishitz just want to say it goes based on the mother, but the Achrayim bring Gemara in Kedushin and other places that it really goes based on the father. Now, if it goes based on the father, we're going to have an issue, which Rashi just alluded to, which is Agag was a Amalek from the mother, not from the father. So here's the issue. If what determines Amalek is being from the father, and Agag was not a Amalek from the father, it was from the mother, so then it'll turn out that Agag is not a Amalek. It'll turn out that Haman is not a Amalek. Interesting. So we need to understand who is really a Amalek, what determines a Amalek, and the problem is there's a Gemara in Megillah Daf Zion that seems to say that the story of the Megillah's Esther is a kiyum of Mechias Amalek, Sivas Amalek. So it definitely appears that Haman Agag was a Amalek, yet there are rayas that a Amalek is determined by the father and not the mother, and Agag was only from the mother. What is going on? Zaktecha, yes.
Why can't go according to whatever the pagam is?
What do you mean?
Just like by a mamzer, it doesn't make a difference if it's a mamzer or mamzeris, how it comes. The pagam is that he has blood on him that's Amalek.
But who said? The chiyuv is to kill Amalek. So we need to know what. Are you Amalek or not Amalek?
He has Amalek in blood on him.
Okay, yeah, you're extending that halacha. It's not just Amalek, it's any traces. Right. Traces? Any residue, any traces of Amalek. So that's your Kiddush, but is that true? Okay. Alright, so here's the way it goes. We gotta wrap this up. We have it like this. It comes along the Achrayim and says, Amurdi Kishmak Abshat. That the Chiv of the Muhammad is against Amalek. Have a war, kill Amalek. And Amalek is only from the father's side. But there's a Reboy called Zecher Amalek. A trace of Amalek. Rabbi Edelman's halacha over here. But we're getting from a pasuk now. Right? So here's what's happening. Here's what's happening. The chiv is to kill Amalek and Zecher Amalek. That's the Mechilta. The Mechilta says, Zecher Zehaman. Amalek Kimashmo is Amalek. Meaning, Amalek means from the father. Zecher Amalek means any trace of Amalek, even from the mother, like Haman was. With this Yisayid, we can now explain everything. We'll work backwards, okay? So we end up with the Mechilta. So now we have Pshat and Mechilta. What the Mechilta is doing is giving us two dinim. There are now two halachas in our mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. Din number one is destroy Amalek, ben achar ben achar ben. And also destroy any zecher, any trace of Amalek, which would include even the mother like Haman. That's the Mechilta. With this, we can now understand the whole story with Shaul and Shmuel. Shaul HaMelech was told to kill Amalek. Shaul understood that means only ben achar ben, only the zacher, only if you came from and were the yichus of Amalek, which means not from the mother. And therefore, he let Agag live. Because Agag was only a Amaleki from the mother, not from the father. That's why he let some of the animals live. Some of the animals he destroyed. Because they asked, why was he told to destroy the animals? So he said, because some of the animals dressed up, or Kishuf, to be, really, they were really Amalekim. So he killed most of them, because maybe they were actually people. But he let some of them live. I guess he was convinced they weren't people. So it come out like this. Shaul HaMelech thought that Tzivui to kill Amalek is only Amalek Mamish from the Zachar. From father.
But what about killing the animals
because
they're animals?
That came now. That was a command. That happened now. Shaul HaMelech was told, kill the animals. He did not know that killing the animals was because of a new din of kill the animals. He thought killing animals was a halacha of kill Amalek, but Amalek dressed up through Kishav or whatever as animals. It was one din. Shaul HaMelech thought there was one din called Amalek. What?
Why did he leave those few?
No, those few he left because they were the nicest ones for karbanos, he said. And maybe he was convinced that they weren't people. I don't know. So he left those fine animals and Agag. Everyone else he killed because they were from Amalek Mamish. Comes along Shmuel. Shmuel Navi says, you made a mistake, Shaul. You made a mistake. What's the mistake? Besides halacha of Amalek, Mechias Amalek, there's halacha of Mechias Zecher Amalek. When you were told to kill the animals, and everyone, male, female, everyone, including Agag, is because the second halacha called, get rid of any trace of Amalek. And that's why he had to kill all the animals and Agag. And that's why Shmuel HaNavi, when he, before killing Agag, mentioned the mother.
But then we have to use a cherev?
For this halacha, probably also.
You have to kill all the animals with the cherev too?
Again, maybe. Again, this is I'm not going there. We'll have to wait for the Shmuel Pinchas on that one. But the idea is that Shmuel HaNavi was saying, I'm killing you even though it's only your mother that made you an Amaleki. There's still halacha, I need to kill you. And that was the taina on Shaul. That was the machlokes Shaul and Shmuel. And Shmuel's right. That's what Hashem told Shmuel. Fine. So now we understand those halachas. Now let's go back to the third shaila. We have Haman. So who was Haman? Haman was a grandchild of Agag, which means you're only as strong as Agag was. You're only as Amaleki as Agag was. So Haman was not a full-bloomed Amaleki. He was a Zecher Amalek. Because from the mother. Therefore, it could be this halacha of destroying the money of Amalek is only the money of Amalek and not the money of a Zecher Amalek. Meaning, only real full-bloomed Amalekim do I need to destroy their money. But as someone who's a Zecher Amalek, he's only from the mother, I have to destroy him. But I don't need to destroy his money. And that would be perhaps why Esther was allowed to stay in the palace, have the riches of Haman. The second to last point was Gerim. Right? Are we allowed to accept Gerim from Amalek? So the Mechilta says no. We had a Bambakasha from the Gemara and Gittin that says, B'nei Banash Haman, a learning Terim and Abrach. Teretz is Gishmak. Who are we not allowed to accept Gerim from? Amalek Mamish. But from Zecher Amalek, from whoever is not Mamish Amalek, is only from the Zecher Amalek, from them we can accept Gerim. And that's why Haman, or his children, that converted, we did accept them because they were not full Amaleks, they were only Zech Amalek. And then the last point, Bizman Hazeh, do we have this mitzvah or not? So, we're medayin from the Rambam seems to say that we do, not like Mechas Chinuch. The problem is, Sancheirim came and mixed everyone up. So, how can we have it? So this is a little bit of a stretch, but something to think about. How are you going to kill them anyway? You obviously are only going to kill them because you have some sort of idea that they are Amalek. Oh, we're not just going to kill every guy out there. You're only going to kill a guy that could be Amalek. So it could be whatever traces that we have today of Amalek, that may be a Zecher of them. Which means like this, the Zayin Amamin, we can't kill the Zayin Amamin. Because by the Zayin Amamin, the Chiv is to kill the Zayin Amamin, not a trace of the Zayin Amamin. And therefore, after Sancheiriv, all we have left are the traces of the Zayin Amamin. But by Amalek, where the Chiv is not just to kill Amalek, but to kill Zecher Amalek, perhaps, and this is a capital P, perhaps it will be Shaykh today to have a trace of Amalek even after Sancheiriv. Have a good night.